Peter chapter 3. I like this little quote. I'm not exactly sure where I got it, but let me give it to you anyway. When change is successful, we look back at it and call it growth. When change is successful, we look back at it and call it growth. We're going to talk about growth a little bit tonight. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the longsuffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved Paul, brother Paul, also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. The first thing I want us all to see here tonight is the presupposition that we are to grow. We are to grow. Well, when we think about growing, more often than not, we think about what we're growing towards. But I want us to give just a little bit of thought about what we're growing from. What we're growing from. We are growing from something, and we're growing away from a sinful life, a life displeasing to God, a life that dishonors God, a life that, if you may, pacifies self, but it certainly doesn't exalt the Savior. And of course, before we're saved, that's under condemnation and destruction for the unsaved, but destruction to a degree to even to those who are saved. Now, I want you to know that I hate sin more today than I did early in my life. I hate it. I see the destruction that it brings, and I know that I am yet a sinner saved by grace. But I'm here to tell you, I hate sin today more than I did when I was a boy and even a young man. I hate it because I've seen the destruction that it brings in people's lives, and I just hate it. Well, take your Bibles and hold your place there and go over to Jude. Chapter 1, just look, let's pick up in Jude verse 17. And you see here a same reference about being spotted. Let's pick up verse 7. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves, central, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some, some having compassion, making a difference. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Our Lord, is in a very familiar passage in John 8, told the woman that was caught in adultery. Of course, the culprit, the male culprit, wasn't brought together before the Lord. But the Lord said to her in verse 11 of John 8, Jesus said unto her, when he asked about where are those who condemn you, neither do I condemn thee. Go, but listen, sin no more. Sin no more. Now, If a man says he's not a sinner, he lies and the truth is not in him, because we're all sinners. But it is true that as we grow in the Lord, we should be sinning less. Not sin less, but we should be sinning less. Now, I know there may be seasons in our life where we grow weak because of circumstances or whatever. Things happen. They do happen. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:21, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. Now, that's not just hold on to it a little bit. That's holding on to it like the sword in the battle, you know. Hold on to things, hold fast to that which is good. And then he said, abstain from all appearance of evil. Now, I don't think we need a lot of flashcards when it comes to that. I think we know pretty good what things have an appearance of evil to them. And if it has an appearance of evil, I don't think Christians ought to be practicing that. And that's what the Bible is talking about here. Grow away from the things or sins so much so that even we are removing ourselves from the things that even have the appearance of evil. Even the appearance of evil. Now that's wisdom, see? That's wisdom. Wisdom's come not nigh to your door. It's create some distance, as we're talking about Abraham this morning and how he would deny the gifts or anything remotely associated with Sodom. Come not nigh. Come not near it. Abstain. Abstain, why? Well, it could have been a benefit, okay, but no, it would have the appearance of evil. And Abraham wanted nothing of that. Nothing of that. Psalm 119, thinking of Dory, I wanted to put this one in. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. I hate every false way. Now, let me just make a note here. We ought to hate every false way more than anywhere else in our own life. Not others' life, you know, see the beam and the mote, you know. The speck in your eye, the neighbor's eye. And so first and foremost, we ought to hate sin in our own life and even hate sin, even the appearance of sin in our own life. Now, I've made this comment, I think, all of my life as a teacher. If something is healthy, it will grow. Now, it's not always manifest the growth. In other words, there's not always an outward growth that's evident. But there will be some growth taking place if something is healthy. Now, I'm personally not at all disturbed by someone who's a babe in the Lord and they don't manifest the mature things that someone else may be demonstrated in their life. I'm not perplexed. I'm not bothered by that. It makes me look forward to a day that they would grow out of that, to be sure, but I'm not perplexed about a baby Christian acting and thinking like a baby Christian. I think it would be unnatural if they did anything different, to be quite honest with you. Just like I think it would be unnatural for, Slade to act like an 18-year-old boy. I just think it would be unnatural to expect such a thing. Now, someone who's a babe cannot eat the meat of God's Word. It doesn't bother me at all. But if they remain that way for years and years and years, that would start to concern me. Someone who wanted to be a baby and just stay a baby, I'm talking about a babe in the Lord, and never wanted to eat the meat of God's Word, never wanted to grow up, I want to be a Toys R Us kid, old thing, that would then become a concern, and that should become a concern for all people, because healthy things, of course, in people grow. Now, many times throughout the years, when new people would come into the church, they could be involved in different things, and they might even have a vice or two that they're working through. I'm really not overly perplexed about that. I'm not. Now, that doesn't mean I approve of it, but I'm not overly perplexed about it. A lot of people come from an environment, and they're even some other churches where they, you know. And I'm really just not over perplexed about that. Now, again, I'd like to see some changes over time. I'd like to encourage that change. But there's got to be a time of growth for people in understanding in that type of transition in their life, in the early stages. And I think it behooves us as Christians to be as gracious and encouraging towards growth as we possibly can be. And I think just with some TLC, some encouragement, and just some, you know, good examples put before them, most people start making some accommodations. They start making some changes, and, you know, the next thing you know, well, they just are carrying themselves quite differently than what they used to do. And that is a good thing. But it shouldn't be this thing that when you walk in the door, somebody slams your arm behind your back and says, bless God, you're going to do this. That's entirely missing the Spirit of God and the Word of God. I want you to know, that's really missing the Spirit. And we should want to treat others the same way we would want to be treated if we were in their condition or in them their place. But I think we ought to encourage them to grow and not to expect him to grow up from age infancy until a mature adult Christian in 3 months. It's just going to take more time than that. And frankly, all we got to do is look in the mirror and think how much time it took you to grow up. And just be as gracious and encouraging as you can be in light of yourself. The Bible says, consider thyself, consider thyself. But we have to take the Word of God to people where they are in their spiritual life. Now, where they are these days, that could be a big jump away from where people used to be and what was acceptable in their lives then. And we've got to be ready to deal with some of that stuff and deal with it in a gracious and a Christian fashion, loving them all the way from the point of where they began to where they need to go. But we have this presupposition, is that we grow. If we're healthy, we're going to grow. Just like the babies, they're going to grow. Number two, we have a divine injunction. We are to grow in grace and in knowledge. All those who are saved by the power of God need to grow in grace and gain and grow in knowledge. Let me give you some verses out of Proverbs chapter 4, verse 5 through 9. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not. Now, what good is it to get it when you lose it right away? So you want to keep it, all right? Forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. In other words, put it into practice. Put what you've learned, don't forget it. Get it, don't forget it, and then put it into practice. Isn't that good? These are building blocks of good education and behavior. Forsake her not, and now stay with it. And she shall preserve thee. If you do that, all right, so get it, don't forget it, don't, and then forsake her not. And if you do that, these things are going to preserve you. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her. In other words, esteem her highly, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. So embrace this higher standard, higher way of living. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, and a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Now, it's the best of the best of the best. But for you to get there, you have to grow in grace and in knowledge. Now, there are some groups that all they ever preach about in their churches about winning somebody to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And I'm all happy about that. I'm glad somebody wants somebody else to be saved. And all God's people should want other people to be saved. But there is more to the Christian life than just wanting other people to get saved. You've got a whole book to teach. You have a whole book of wisdom and knowledge and understanding that we need to strive to understand and put in practice ourselves. Now, they say, well, by teaching these other things, doctrine, in other words, by teaching these other things, you're causing division in the house of God because all we need to teach is love Jesus and get everybody else to love Jesus. Well, that's not what the Bible says that we ought to do. All right? So we have to go back to the Bible. And it is a doctrine that gives us the distinctives of what we believe. We had a dear lady, and she's out today. She's not feeling well today. But she happened to go to a Church of Christ. We used to call them water dogs, you know. Water dogs, Church of Christ. They believe, most of them believe you're saved by your baptism. And when I thought, well, they probably agree. They kind of teach and think the same thing. But you come to find out, no, they don't. But you have to kind of peel the onion back a little bit to kind of figure that all out. Now, there's going to be some distinctions, but the distinctions are not going to be known until you start digging into the Word of God. So this lady, I said, Well, did they teach that once you're saved, you're always saved? Now, that's the old-fashioned way of asking if somebody believes in eternal security. And she said, no, they did not. You know, I have a couple of Mennonite men working for me out there trying to dry in that little cabin. And I remember years ago causing a to-do. I mean, it was on the golf course, and it's okay. It's half expected to cause a to-do on the golf course, all right? So it was half okay. But I was playing golf. There were three of us playing golf, and I was playing golf with a father-in-law and, of course, this son-in-law, Mennonite, both of them. Well, no, the son was Mennonite. The son-in-law was Mennonite. And the grandpa, the father of his wife, was a Baptist, a man. And we were playing golf along through there. Everybody's having a good time. And I just noticed this Mennonite, you know, he seemed to be highly modern shorts, you know. I mean, just really, really modern dude, you know. And I was just asking him, I said, you know, just a few little questions. And then I asked him, so what is it that your particular branch of Mennonites believe? Do y'all believe in, just by chance, eternal security, by the way? We're just shooting the breeze, you know. And, man, I opened up a can of worms. And he got a look on his face immediately, and I knew, uh-oh. And he said, well, actually, preacher, no, we don't teach that. And now, it's not don't teach that. You don't believe it. That's right. You don't teach it. You know, and man, his father-in-law went to the moon. He got red in the face. I mean, he didn't cuss, but where he spent the rest of the day, grass will never grow. You know, one of those things. He said, you mean to, this? And this is what he said. You mean to tell me you don't believe once somebody's saved, they're always saved? He didn't want to answer, but he had already answered. The cat's out of the bag, you know. And I'm like, you know, I've opened up a can of worms here. And he said, then that's not the worst of it. Then he come out with the baseball bat. He said, you mean to tell me you're teaching my grandbabies? Now it's going to come down to the root. You're teaching my grandbabies that they can earn their salvation? That's what you're teaching my grandchildren? Boy, he was mad. And I'm thinking, this golf game is going downhill fast. It got so quiet, you would have thought that women were playing the game. Don't you look at me like that, ladies. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Nobody can hold a grudge like a woman. Now, for several... That's the truth. Amen. That's the truth. All right, now, a few holes passed. Nobody said a word. We got them, man. Tee off. No, that was a good one. No, nothing. Nothing. Tink. Nobody said, you're next. Nothing. Tink. Tink. Get in the cart. Nothing. About four holes. Nothing. Well, I'm like, well, this is going to go nuclear at some point. So maybe I can release some of the tension. So I said, listen. I wasn't trying to cause a to-do in your family. I'm just telling you, I was just asking a question. And if I'd have known that it's going to do that, I mean, I wouldn't have asked a question. I know we're just playing golf together. We're just playing golf. I'm just a stranger to you. We're just playing golf. And the dad, he said, it's not your fault, preacher. Yeah, he was on my side. We were the only ones in the truth. That other man, he was the one in the wrong. And so I want you to know, we're going to run into a lot of different variety of things in our life, and we all have to grow to understand. And there's these doctrines create distinctions. They just do. I mean, if you go to a church and they don't believe in eternal security, you go to another church and they believe in eternal security, they don't believe the same thing. They just, I mean, we can argue about it, but, you know, and I think we ought to have a dialogue about it and discuss it, but we don't believe the same thing. But you know, some people say, well, we just believe the same thing. No, we really don't. We really don't. The Council of Trent, by the way, is still the authorized doctrine of the Roman Catholic Church. And they've never recanted. They've never turned away from that doctrinal stance. And they think what we believe is anathema. They think what we believe is total heresy. But now they're pretending that they don't believe that. But they do. They do. And so the distinction is there. And you can't get away from it if you're going to start digging in to grow in grace and in knowledge. You're going to find out there are differences in what we believe. And so the non-denominational groups, interdenominational groups, they try to downplay all that distinctiveness. But it's there. And, you know, I had a man, matter of fact, he's right over here across the way. And they didn't want to identify to anybody their denomination. And I said, well, what are you? And he said, well, we're really non-denominational. I said, what are you? Come on, tell me what you are. And he said, well, you know, he didn't want to say. And I said, you are something by what you teach. Now you just tell me what you teach and I'll tell you what group you belong to. Okay? And he says, well, if you have to know, you know, I'm asking the question, what are you, man? Because he wanted us to do joint meetings with him. Well, how can I walk with you except we be agreed? That's what Amos says, right? And so, well, who are you then? Well, he didn't want to answer it. Well, he said, well, if you have to know. And I'm like, but if I have to, well, in our articles of faith, way down, you know, in small print, it says we are affiliated with the Church of God. And I said, then why not say that? Why not just let people know that's where you are? Because anybody knows much about the Bible and the different denominational beliefs, mainline denominational beliefs, they know what camp you're in there. They, you know, I mean, right or wrong or different, they just know where you belong. And they understand where you're coming from. Well, the teaching and the growth of this is going to illuminate our eyes to these distinctions. And those distinctions, I happen to think, are pretty important for us to understand and adhere to. Now, number three, we have a special direction. We are to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. So we are to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. We are to grow toward the Lord, right? We, as Christians, we want to be more like the Lord. We want to be little Jesus. We want to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15. Now, to grow towards Jesus, we have to also grow towards the Bible. Because in the beginning was the Word. We know that the Word walked among us and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. So the direction that we're growing to is we're growing to the Lord. All right? We want to be more and more like Jesus, right? We'll be more like Jesus each and every day. The Lord said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. 1 John 3:2, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So we ought to be growing. And we ought to be growing from something, growing from sin, even the appearance of sin, right? Growing away from that's in my past, right? And we're growing in knowledge and grace, and we're growing to be more like the Lord throughout our lives. So we grow in grace, we grow towards Jesus. So number one, the point is made that we are to be in a stage of development, a stage of development in our lives. And our development is to grow in our relationship, of course, with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, to do that also, not only to grow to be like Him, we have to grow in our relationships and our development of our relationships with other fellow believers, with other Christians. We have to learn to grow with them. Take your Bible and go to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. In other words, we can't just follow Jesus. We have to follow what Jesus did and what He taught. All right? We've got to follow it. If we're going to be more like Him, we've got to be more like Him. And we can't say we are more like Him if we're not. All right. So in 1 John chapter 4, the Lord brings, John here brings in the equation or the development of the something that cannot be divorced. And what cannot be divorced is how we relate to Jesus and how we relate to Jesus' children. And he says this, if a man say, I love God and hateth his brother. Well, here's a pretty bold statement. He's a liar. He's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen. That's not talking about his blood brother. It's talking about a fellow Christian. How can he love God whom he hath not seen? Let me say that again where I don't interrupt myself. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? Question mark. And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. So, if we say we love God and we don't love our fellow Christian brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, we are a liar. And how can we say we love God who we cannot see when we do not love our brothers and sisters in Christ whom we do see? So let me put it to you straight, and as straight as I can. If you say you love God and you hate your brothers and sisters in Christ, stop saying you love God, because you are a liar. Stop it. Just stop it. You say, well, I do. No, you don't love him. No, you don't. You, by what authority would you say something like that, preacher? By this authority right here. You don't love God because you don't love your fellow Christians. If you're going to love him, you have to love them that you who you can see. So stop doing it. I was listening to a sermon one day, and a preacher was preaching away, and he said his, one of his men came to him, and he said this, preacher, you know I love you, but if you're not going to do, you are not going to do what you're preaching, you need to stop preaching it. And I thought, well, there's a bold officer. But I thought, good for him. Good for him. Because sometimes one of the best points of medicine is to give it to them straight. It's sort of like, you know, what's her face? Plays on with John Wayne on True Grit. It's the truth is like a sharp knife, she says, you know. What is her name? What is that actress' name? Katherine Hepner. You know, and she's that little bony little thing, you know, but boy, she's got a little bonnet on and she's giving him what for, you know. She said, you know, the truth is it's best like a sharp knife. It cuts good, it cuts clean, you know. And just let's get right on down to it. So if you're not going to love your brothers and sisters in Christ, stop telling everybody that you love Jesus, because you don't. You don't. You say, what makes me feel bad? Good. Good. You should feel bad. And that would make you repent, right? It would at least provoke you to repent so that you would feel better. So if there's any Christian that you cannot say, I love them in the Lord, don't tell anybody else you love Jesus until you set that straight. How about that? Okay, you think it's gospel? You think that's true? All right, let it be so. Let it be so. Again, if a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? John 13:34. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Now, our journeys are not on an upward path alone. In other words, we don't have just a constant climb in our life. We're going to have some ups and downs. We're going to have some seasons and harms and things in our life. And so is everybody else that's walking this planet. So our brothers and sisters in Christ are on their journey with all the dynamics that are at play in their life, things that are from the past, the present, and the future as well in their life. And we all have a past, we all have a present, and we all have a future. Our brothers and sisters are always going to be in flux, and so are you. So am I. Meaning we are all in motion and we're all in a constant state of change. Now, some of these brothers and sisters in Christ are going to be stronger than we are at a particular time in history. Others are going to be weaker than we are in a particular time in history. So you're going to have weak Christians who are going to have to learn to love stronger Christians, and stronger Christians who are going to have to love weaker Christians. And then, what's sometimes a little strange, is sometimes they'll trade places. And so you'll have a couple years pass, and this one has backslidden, and this one has really got on fire for the Lord, and now they're reversed. Who was now the weaker Christian is now the stronger Christian, and the stronger Christian is now the weaker Christian, but they're still taught to love one another. Now, to do that, you've got to work at it. It's not going to come natural. You've got to work at it. So there's a lot of movement going on. All the while we're told to develop that relationship, to grow in grace, forbearance, understanding, and wisdom. So develop your relationship, develop your loving relationships with the fellow saved. Number three, develop our relationship with the unsaved. Christ doesn't leave the unsaved off of our radar. He just doesn't. He just doesn't do that. For God so loved the world. And last time I looked, that's everybody. That's everybody. That's those that we agree with, and that's those we strongly disagree with. The second is likened to, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And your neighbor is not necessarily a Christian. They could be a pagan. They could be an atheist. And we are to love them too. The Lord said in Matthew 5, ye have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. 5:43-44 says, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. That, for the purpose that, ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. If you love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? If ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans also? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. So we have a big job to do, and that job is to grow. And it means growing from something and growing to something. Growing from someone, Brother Colin talked about that, did a great lesson this morning in teenager class. Growing from the father of lies, the ways of the world. And we're growing from that, and we're growing to the Word of God, growing to the Spirit of God, to the Word of God, and the Lord Jesus Christ. And then if we're going to grow, we have to gain knowledge, gain understanding, how to do all of this stuff. You don't just step up to the plate and you get an instruction book. You got to dig it out. Study to show thyself approved. And then you got to grow in your relationship toward Christ to become more like Him. You know, we had those bracelets came out, you know, WWJD. What would Jesus do? Well, indeed, what would He do? But more, what would He think? What would He think? Do we think the way Jesus thinks? Well, that's a good question, isn't it? Are we loving our brothers and sisters the way Jesus loves His own? If not, we need to grow in that, don't we? Not only that, are we loving the lost the way Jesus loves them? And if not, we need to grow in that too. Amen? Let's stand for prayer.